Okay, first of all, you're being recorded. So just know that this class is being recorded and you are being recorded if you have anything to say. Okay, and we'll talk about, I put the recordings out online, so if you're not here, you can listen to the recording of the class if you want to. I noticed you were hybrid next to yours, so, you know, you can listen to the recording, and I also capture the what's up there on the screen, and that goes out as SmartBoard notes. So the combination of SmartBoard notes and the audio will give you the class. I do them separately because I find a lot of people want the SmartBoard notes when they're doing homework and want to reference them, and they really don't want to listen to the whole 2.5 hours of lecture thrown in. So I keep them separate. It takes a little bit of getting used to as to when to move on to the next thing in the SmartBoard presentation, but it works out. I'm Priscilla Grosso. This is CIS 122. The 44 is there because that's what it used to be called, and some of the notes out there may still say 44 on them. If you go to my homepage, it is www.pgrosso.net. I do not use e-learning, okay? I predate e-learning, and it's too much of a pain to change. Besides, I like the idea of open access as opposed to password protected. So my site is not password protected, and it's open access. Okay, so if I go to CIS 122, up at the top, there's a bunch of things like the withdrawal policy and help or support and the syllabus, and we'll mainly look at the syllabus. But the withdrawal policy, I want to be sure to mention, up until I think it was a semester or two ago, at the end of the semester, if people weren't passing the course, I had the option of giving them a W or an F. I no longer have that option. Okay, if you're not passing the course, the only option I have is to give you an F. I can only withdraw you up at the beginning of the course when I do my official thing that tells who's in the class. Withdrawals from you are accepted until the 10th week of classes. So around week 9, you should look at it and see if you're going to pass the course, you think. And if you're not, you should withdraw yourself if you want a W. Okay, because I don't have the ability to do that anymore. Okay, the syllabus. There is no book for this course because there is just a gazillion pieces of information out on the web. If you want a book, the topics we're covering are HTML5, CSS and JavaScript, and I would say more introductory level JavaScript, but JavaScript including DOM. So if you want to just browse around and pick up a book in any of those areas, you can, but there's enough information online that I don't think you need a textbook. Okay, W3 Schools is one of the really good references that you should use, so have W3 Schools readily available when you're doing this. It will give you syntax and examples. Okay. The grading is that 80% of your grade is based on homework and stuff that you do on a week-to-week basis. That's 80% of your homework. Of your grade. 10% is the final exam, and 10% is for being a responsible student, which basically boils down to, I take late work, okay? But if you're chronically late, you're going to lose some of that 10%. If I never get anything on time from you, you're going to lose some of it, or if I frequently don't get it on time. If you pass everything in April, you can kiss the 10% goodbye. Okay, so you've got to be keeping up with homework is the main thing I'm looking there. Keeping up with homework and keeping up with passing it in. I will return homework ungraded if it isn't close to accurate. Essentially, you're going into a field where accuracy counts. You can't write code and say, well, it sort of works. Okay, it's got to work. And so if you pass in homework that's not working correctly, I'm going to give it back to you and tell you to fix and resubmit. And we can go on, I'll give comments as to what I want you to fix, but we can go back and forth for several times before I get it graded. Okay? But that's an important part of doing the homework, is keeping up with that and getting me the stuff back. I suggest you make some kind of a spreadsheet that tells when you pass it in, when you got it back, when you repassed it in, and kind of keep track of things like that, so that you know where you stand and don't lose track. Because it's very conceivable that you're working on two or three things at the same time. That's about it on that. This class has been posted as a hybrid course. By the way, a couple of you came in late. Before you leave or when we take a break, please sign the attendance sheet. It's up here. It's listed as a hybrid course, but in fact, I teach it as a student option. Okay? In other words, I will be here most of the time. If I'm not going to be here, I will let you know. So the hybrid is kind of that I'm going to be here most of the time. It had to do with a whole bunch of bookkeeping things, how it ended up being a hybrid class, but it's a hybrid class. Okay, so I will be here most of the time. You can choose to be here all, some, or never. Okay? The course is entirely available online, so you can do it entirely online if you want to. If you can only come sometimes, it's good to do that occasionally, to drop in to find out where we are. If you are not familiar and comfortable with programming, I strongly suggest you start coming around the time I start JavaScript for a while and make sure you're comfortable with JavaScript. JavaScript is definitely a programming language. And JavaScript is now becoming a very high-demand programming language. If you look at the things that are highly in demand, JavaScript is up there. And so it makes sense to really get a handle on JavaScript. Okay? So, let's see. Under here, I have the smart board notes and the audio notes. And those are put up. There are also smart boards notes under XHTML, but we really are not going to be doing XHTML much, so I should basically take that out. I keep it up there in case anybody wants to reference it, but we are really doing HTML5. And I will put the smart board notes here under smart board notes and the audio notes here under audio notes. So I will go home and upload the audio notes and upload the smart board, and they'll be available to you usually the day after. At worst, they'll go up on Wednesdays, but usually they go up either tonight or Tuesday. Okay. Questions? Are you sure? Okay, then we'll move on. Okay, what I'm going to do is we're going to go through HTML. I'm making the assumption for this class that you don't know HTML. If you do, then sorry, you're going to be totally bored today. The class has to make the assumption that you don't need HTML because there are no prerequisites, that you don't know HTML because there are no prerequisites. Okay? Okay, so I'm going to click on the HTML sample code. Okay, and I'm going to go in there, and I think the first one does not bring, okay, it does. I got rid of the bad one, I guess, the other day when I meant to. Okay, so on this one, I am starting out, And what I did is I brought up the first example. Okay? And then I did a right click. I'm in Firefox. If you're in something else, that's fine. But if you want to follow along with what I'm doing, I'm in Firefox. I did a right click on it, and then I said View Source. Okay, so I did a right click here and said View Page Source. And View Page Source shows me the code. And I'm going to go take a picture of that. Okay, so when I see the View Source code, it is showing me the code that generated that. That's the code that was written that generated that information up there. The browser is taking the tags that are in the less than and greater than signs, and the tags are telling it what to put on the page. Okay? So, the first line says explanation point doc type HTML. That tells it that it's HTML5. That the HTML will run with that, but without that, but then it will take it whatever it wants as the default HTML. If you want it to make sure that you're using the latest version, which is HTML5, you put that line in, and that tells it that you're using HTML5. Okay. Then the HTML tag, hello. Again, well, there's enough people that came in late that we'll start the attendance around again. So HTML, again, is broken down into head and body. Okay, so the head has got the information about the page. And in this one, the only thing I have is the title, which says web using headers. And you can see the title up here. So that's where the title goes, is on that tab. Okay? Then I have my body, and then I put in 6 headers. Now, the definition of a header is that it is going to have a different size font depending on which level of header you have, H1 giving me the biggest font. And it is going to be bold, and it's going to skip a line after the header. And so those headers all are following that description of being bold and skipping a line afterward. Okay? Now, the tag is enclosed in less than and greater. When it's closed, when you're done with that tag, you put the less than and then a slash and then the H1. So that tag with a close is a slash. Okay? And so I close the head up here. Now notice title, I could have written just title, then put web using headers, and then close the title. But it doesn't care, so I wrote it all in one line. In fact, the whole thing could be written. He's already signed. The whole thing could be written in one line, but the computer could handle that. People, not so much. Okay, so you usually break it down so it's clear for people to read. So that's one thing that I can do in the body, is put a bunch of headers in there. And the headers are set up in that way and in those sizes, depending on whether you use H1 through H6.
I have a question.
Yeah.
The font size pertaining to H1, 2, 3, is it like, do you know what the font size is?
No, I don't. Actually, I could go and look it up, but it's preset.
Okay.
Okay.
So find that out in the book.
Yeah. Questions that I can answer. Oh, you can try questions that I can't. That's fine, too. Okay. So that's one thing that I can put in here. Then I move on, and I've got headers in here. And on this one, I'm adding a couple of symbols, which are the less than and greater than symbol. Okay? So if I want to talk about what the header is, for example, talk about what the H1 is, if I put the less than and greater than sign around the H1, it would assume that I'm starting a header. But if I want to talk about it in my text, what I can do is say this stands for the less than symbol. And so it will then put in the less than symbol and will not take it as I should act on it, but will take it as this is the symbol. So then I can put the H1 and then I can put the greater than symbol. And that basically says it will translate to this. But if I had just written that, it would have taken that tag as something to act on, and so it would have written the H1. Okay. The previous version of this is XHTML. And XHTML was a pain in the neck because it demanded that everything you open be closed. Okay? So I couldn't write anything without having an open and a close. Now, when I first learned HTML, we just wrote the open tag for a header, H1, and we didn't usually bother to close it. Then it became more conventional to close it, and nowadays, if you don't close them, they do get validated. They will not get validated, and we'll talk about validating in a few minutes. But XHTML took it to the extreme. And XHTML said everything has to be closed. And there is a BR tag, which is like hitting enter on your computer. It's like hitting enter and moves down to the next line. XHTML wanted a slash in front of that, or not in front of that, actually after it. Put the slash in. And so that BR was kind of both an open and a close. Okay. Not needed. Okay. So the BR in XHTML got written with a slash in it. In most of our life, we write the BR just like this. Now, as we go along, you will see sometimes where I went back and converted an XHTML to an HTML, and whoops, I forgot to take out that slash. Okay, I was paying attention to other things. The slash does no harm if you leave it in there. But it was a requirement in XHTML. XHTML required everything be closed. And so they made up this kind of bizarre thing of, if I write the BR and the slash, this will be the both the open and the close. It will count as both. Okay. Okay, this is the same one, the third one, except that I've added character set, okay? And again, if you want your code to be totally professional looking, you're going to put in that character set there. And the UTF can either be upper or lowercase, but you're telling it that you're using the standard character set for English, basically. The other thing that has been added recently, which didn't used to be a requirement, is in the HTML tag, they now add a language equals EN in quotes inside the top HTML tag. And that tells it that the language is English. Okay? So if you want to, and if you want to again validate and look good, you will put in that language equals EN. The other thing that HTML allows you to do is to set up a group. So I can take all these headers and put them in a group, in an H group. And the group of headers can then be, I can, when I get to working with color and everything, I can change not the individual headers, but I can actually change the group. So I'm allowed to take and form things into a collection or group, and I can do it that way. Okay? So I've now grouped them. We won't really be seeing the practical use of that for a while, but that's a way that I can handle them as a group. And all those things will show up. I should have mentioned the P for paragraph, and I didn't here. The P starts a paragraph. Down here, I've ended the paragraph with a slash in front of the P. Okay? With a paragraph, it will skip a blank line after the paragraph is complete. You can't really tell that here because it's the last paragraph before I close the body and close the HTML. But the P closes the paragraph. If I want to move down to another line within the paragraph, I can use this BR, which is a break. And again, it's like hitting the Enter key. It moves things down to the next line. Okay. Questions? As I said, with the language equals English, HTML and the standards for HTML, and the same with CSS, which we'll look at, are moving targets in the sense that they keep making changes and adding things and making new rules. So it's somewhat of a moving target. Okay. Now we're getting into a list. Okay. Here I've got a header one, a header two, and then I put in a list. And the UL starts the list. And UL stands for unordered. OL is an ordered list. Okay, so I can choose ordered or unordered. This is an unordered list. And each item within the list is an LI, which is a list item. So I have a bunch of list items here. And they form a list, and the default is to put the circle in front of each. When we get into CSS, you'll see ways where you can change the icon for the list. But the default list is the dark circle in front of each item. Notice that the UL is opened. Then I do the list, and for each list item, I hold open tag and close tag. And then when I'm done with the list, I close the UL. So I close the entire list that way. Questions? And the next one is an ordered list with no difference, except that I now have the OL instead of the UL. So if I put the OL up there, I get an ordered list. Again, the default is to number them 1, 2, 3. If I wanted that to be Roman numerals or I wanted that to be letters of the alphabet, I could do that using CSS. Okay, so we'll get into cascading style sheets and you can do that. There's also an older way that you can do it, but that's not the recommended way anymore. CSS stands for cascading style sheets, and it's a way of adding style to your page. And the preference is that the page use CSS for style and not use other kinds of ways of doing style. Oops. Okay, this gets into just a simple little paragraph, which we really talked about. Okay, the big thing I want you to notice here is when I wrote the code, notice I left a lot of spaces between the period and this line. Okay, that doesn't work. Here is the period, and there it is. There's the period, there's the end, there's only one space in between. So you can leave a gazillion spaces, and it says that's very nice, and it gives you one. Okay? So you can't have multiple spaces in there. A space is a special character if you want to put it in. You can write NBSP semicolon. And that gives you one extra space. So if you want 10 spaces, you write that 10 times. And that gets you 10 spaces.
What's before the N?
Ampersand.
Okay.
Okay, so an ampersand NBSP will get you a blank space. Yeah?
You said you had to enter that 10 times. There's no way to multiply that command?
You can go in and do some of it with CSS. But no, it's copy and paste. When you're in HTML. Okay. When we get into CSS, there's ways you can play around with it. But right now, it's copy and paste. And if anybody knows something different, let me know. A couple of you know some more HTML from what you have told me. Yeah, it's not too painful if you just copy it and paste it. And this is the one that has a few breaks in it. So I did a paragraph and I did some breaking. Okay, so after I have written this is not true of the VR or break command, I close the paragraph. And you can see I close the paragraph right there. It skips a blank line afterward. So closing a paragraph means I'm going to get a blank line after it. If instead of using a P, I use a DIV, which stands for division, then I don't get a blank line after it. So DIV can be used in place of a paragraph, but it won't leave the blank line when I close the paragraph. And you know yourself when you pick up books. Some leave a blank line after every paragraph, some don't. Okay, so you can go either way. So if I change these P's to div, then it would not leave, it would skip down to the next line, but it wouldn't leave a blank line between. Okay. And any time I put in a BR, it will skip down to the next line. So it's again like hitting the enter key. I think I took a picture of that.
But you don't have to close the BIOS?
No. No. Back in XHTML you did, but now don't. There's a few other commands that we'll look at that don't have to be closed as well. Most of them should be. Okay, now this one, notice I have some spaces. And the, whoops. I think I want to get that back there. Okay, the way I got the spaces was with the NBSPs. Okay, the NBSP got me the space. So I have a series of those, and each one gets me a space. Uses a couple of things. Blank and B and I, okay, are allowed in here. This is the first paragraph, and I'm using a B around something to make it bold, and I'm using an I around something to make it come out in italics. And then down below here, I put both the B and the I to get bold and italics. Notice the I is the second one in, so it's the first one to end. The B is the outside, it's the last one to end. Those are not recommended. If you want to do something, it's recommended that you use CSS, but they still support the B and the I. Okay, I guess a lot of people just like to be able to stick them in around a certain word. They want to be bold and not go through the CSS. So they still allow those to be considered valid ways of doing things. Okay, and I've got some spaces in there that are going to be ignored. Notice the bold, italics, bold and italics. Okay. So those can be used. Okay, so how do I go about doing this? I start out with Notepad. And I take and put code in Notepad. So I'm going to go up and grab one of these that had a list. And if I want to look at this, I'm doing a copy and paste. If I was writing something new, I would go ahead and write the new thing. Wait a minute. I did what I always do. Copy. And now I want to go into here and paste. Okay. So now I've pasted it in here. You can write it. And instead, if you're creating something new. So what I've got here is a page that can be saved now. It's a complete HTML page. I have to do it in a text editor. Don't do it in Word. Word fixes too much for you. Do it in a text editor. If you're working on a Mac, there is also a text editor on the Mac. Somebody want to tell me what it is? I can never remember. Max text editor? Anybody know the name? Well, that indicates you're not a lot of Mac people, okay? But it has a text editor, and anytime you write for a machine, you need to write HTML for a machine, you need to put in the text editor. So now I can save this, and I can say File, Save As, and I'm going to put it on my E drive, and I'm going to call it first C122.html. So I'm putting it out there with an HTML extension, and I'm changing the save as type to all files. Okay, so I'm putting it out in Notepad, and I'm saving it with the HTML extension, all files. So that will save it on the root of my E drive. So now if I want to open it, I'm in Firefox. So I can come up here and click on the dark color at the top of the page and then click on menu bar and I get a menu bar. And that's why I like Firefox, is I can have a menu as opposed to remembering what code combination I have to click to do something. So I can now come in here and say I want to open it. So I'm going to say File, Open File, and I'm going to go to the E drive, and first C122 is right there, and I'm opening it, and there's my page. Okay, so I like the menu to be able to open it. In Chrome, what is it? Control-O or something like that? Five? Remember that, but I don't right now. Control-O to open it in Chrome. But I use Firefox pretty much exclusively, mainly because it still lets me have a menu. Okay. So what I want you to do is take a few minutes, for those of you who don't know HTML especially, and write a short page, bring up Notepad, write a short page with some of the stuff we've gone over, pick and choose from my examples, but write a page, and save it, and then load it into a browser with it. Load the page up into a browser. Okay. I keep forgetting. I got to go back over that your grade on that course too. You were gonna pass me some stuff. Have you done that?
I'm pretty sure I have. I've just been so busy that.
You and me both.
Yeah. But I know I grabbed this today.
Yeah. That's fine.
And it gave me this, I don't know, I guess I needed
this. Read the directions, say you have to attach that.
Oh, okay. Alright. So, yeah.
So fill that in, then I'll sign on the dotted line. Okay. And then you have to get Dan and Vic in to sign.
And you said you would, so do I have to go to him?
Just go to him and say, you know, I'm the guy you said you'd sign.
Okay. Thank you.
You have a pencil? Nope. Oh, I actually might have over here. I've got a Dural marker.
No, it's not safe.
Else? How many of you plan to come most days? One, two, three, huh?
What was that you said?
How many of you plan to come most of the time? Okay. When I taught this class last semester, I had two people and they'd alternate come most. So there was usually one in the class. One day I came in and there was nobody. But I still had to deliver the lecture because the people at home needed it.
Right.
So I stood up here and talked to an empty room for 2.5 hours. I didn't get a lot of questions, but... Program. Oh, options. So you're in computer information, and then you're in programming. Let me know if you have questions. The reason you're doing this in class is so you can ask questions. So let me know if you have any. On this example, I added in the HTML language equals English, just so you can see how it can be done. I thought you needed this for a...
Yeah, for my CS thing. Because CIS doesn't allow...
Okay, for the transfer. Because you're coming here for computer science.
Well, I'm In CIS, and
you're going to do computer science.
Yeah.
I'm going to just change that to computer science. Because CS can also be computer systems, etc. Coordinator, that's me. Now you realize you can't get both degrees, right?
Well, that's what I asked. That's what, if I swap this one class for...
Right, but you only can get one computer degree.
Oh, yeah, that's
but
fine.
That's but that's when you transfer, you get to track
the... Yeah, that's fine.
Exactly.
That's fine.
Okay.
As long as I know where to transfer it.
Right.
Totally fine. I don't want a physics degree. So.
No, that's fine. Questions, anyone? Has everybody got something up? Because I don't hear a lot of typing going on.
How do I save it? That's my issue.
Do a file save as.
Okay. But into my own end drive here, right?
Yeah. I'd save it on your end drive. I'd also bring a flash drive to class from now on.
Well, I could save it on my OneDrive as well.
Okay.
Here and at my house as well.
That's right. So you can save it any way you want to.
Okay.
Where, but you're right. I would have it so I could access it anywhere. But this particular one doesn't matter. So I'm doing a save as, and then I can pick. Say that again? I don't much care, but I'd like you to wait a little while and get us into the semester a little ways. Because life is...
I've done the database portion. I'm already past that. I'm just doing member area.
Okay, well, wait till it's all done.
Okay, all right.
But, you know, if you get it done in March or something, that would be a good time to look at it.
All right, that's fine.
Okay, so this is the little one that I did, okay? And I saved it with a .html extension, and then I uploaded it. By going in and doing file and finding it, okay? So here is the page and everything, and the way that I uploaded it is I came over and said file, open file, and I went down and I found first C122, which is what I saved it as. I clicked on that and it opened. And if I do a view source, I can see this. Okay, and I added in the language equals English. So now what I want to do is I want to go to the validator and validate my code. And again, the browsers are very forgiving because they want all the amateur hour web pages out there to keep customers happy. But if you're looking for a job, the kind of code you should show them is code that validates. You know, good code. So we're going to go in and validate the code. So I'm going to go back to my home page. And down here I've got a thing to click on that says validator. Okay, on my home page I have a thing you can click on that says validator. So I'm clicking on the validate. You can either at this point say you want to validate by putting in the address. And if I do, I click over here, validate on URI, and I can just take the address of a page and type and paste it in there. So I can just copy and paste an HTTP address for a whole page and put it in. Right now, I want to validate one that I have just saved. So I'm saying validate by file upload. I have never actually tried validate by direct input. I've never sat down and typed the page here and done the validate. I'm sure it's fine, but I just do it in Notepad and bring it up. So I'm going to hit on browse, and I'm going to go to my E drive, which is where I saved it, and first see 122 and click on that so that I know what page it is I want to validate. And then I click on check. And it comes up and says document, check completely, no errors or warnings to show. If there is a problem, it will show them. Okay, so in this case it says no errors or warnings to show. So my page validated. Okay, if I go back and okay. Oh, I thought I'd saved it. File, open from my E drive. Come on. Okay, so if I make a mistake, okay, so I'm going to take the LI out of this one, and I'm going to just put an H there, and I'm going to save this. Save as first 122 with errors .html. So now I'm going to go back to the validator. I'm not sure I took a picture of that. And I'm going to browse and pick up the C122 with errors and check that. And it's coming up with a bunch of errors. Okay, so there I can see my errors, and it gives me some clue as to what they are. So in this one, it says, very nicely, tells me it's line 8 I've got the problem in, highlights the H, and tells me that that's the problem. Okay. And then I had the H1 that wasn't in there, and this is, I'm trying to convey to me that that H1 was missing. Line 15, okay, so line 15 and that H1 is missing. So it doesn't give you exact, but it kind of tells you where the things are, and at least if you know where the line is, that was line 8, so I know that that's a problem, okay? And what it did was it said, first of all, it had a problem with the H, then it had a problem with a stray H1, and the reason it was astray is there was no H1 at the beginning to match it with. So that H1 over here ended up being a stray H1. Okay? And then the LI being missing, this was line 8, so 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, actually 13, 14, 15. End tag seemed that they were unclosed errors. So the unclosed error is up above. Okay, they were unclosed elements. This is the one that was not closed. So that's what it's telling you there. It didn't specifically, and I thought it would, but it didn't specifically comment on that. If I had put something like that in, I'd have gotten more comment, I believe. So when I go ahead and fix these, okay, it did tell me there was an unclosed element. And that was the H. I got very upset about the H. So those are the errors that it gives you, and you can go back and fix the errors and then try the validation again. And so you go back and say, okay, I want to now check this. And did I not fix something? Apparently I didn't. No, I didn't fix the H1. Okay, and it's now telling me there are no errors. I mean, you may, as you noticed, it got fixated on one particular error in there, the H without a number after it, and it gave me three or four error messages on that. When I'm working with the validating, I don't try to fix everything at once. I go in and I fix the first problem I encounter, and then I validate. And frequently that'll take out 10 or 20 of them if I've got a load, or 5 or 6 or whatever, but it takes out a whole lot. And then I go down and fix the next thing, and then I fix the next thing, and I keep kind of progressing through that way. Because if you try to fix them all, you'll get very frustrated with all of the duplicates that you'll see for a particular error. Okay. So that is now corrected. Questions? So you want to usually validate your page. Okay, that's just the way you want it to do it. Okay, so for HTML, this is a classic page, and then I said the address to validate, and I gave you the address there. If I look at this code, okay, you can see what we did, and I made a comment that I should have put the language equals English in there, or I could have. Here is my address, and we'll get down to addresses later, but there's the address for the validator. And that's my HTML with the doc type HTML. And we'll get into how that address works. Okay, if I look at the example for XHTML, same thing, but this is what I needed for XHTML. I needed to put in those top four lines. Okay, could I write them from scratch? No, never could. I kept them in a notepad and opened and copied and pasted every time I wanted to write an HTML. Okay, I never even tried. XHTML has strict and transitional. Transitional is much more forgiving. Strict is very unforgiving. So you pick which one you want, and you put in a bunch of information there. Notice language equals English is part of the information that you put in there. And that's how you do it for XHTML. It was all of that that had to be copied and pasted and put in at the top. I don't think many people were sad to see XHTML phased out. All right, I'm going to go back to the examples and go over a few more, and then we can take a break. Here is an embedded list. I'm going to look at the first one to start out with. So I'm starting out, and I said, first of all, I want an unordered list. So I put the UL. Then I said, all right, now I want to have an item in that, a list item, and I want it to be first. And then I said, I want another list item to be second. Notice I didn't close the second one. And the reason I didn't close it is I wanted to put something underneath it. And so I don't close it until I am finished with the stuff that I'm putting underneath it. Okay? And that didn't used to be the way it used to work. In HTML, I used to close those right away. But again, it's a moving target and they've changed the rules. And now you have to, if you want to validate, you have to take and put the close when you're done with everything else. So I have an LI here that's waiting to be closed. Underneath second, I want to put another UL. And I am putting second sub A and closing it, second sub B and not closing that because I want to put something under it. So now I go to another UL and I put this LI that says and below that, and then I close that UL. So since I've closed this UL here, now I can put in the close for the LI that goes with second sub B. So what I basically did is I said second sub B wants something under it, so I'll put in the stuff under it. When I finish with that, then I can close the LI that goes with second sub B. Does that make sense? Okay. Then the thing that I wanted to do was continue on with second sub C, and then I was done with second sub C, and I close that UL, and now I've got the LI in here that goes with this, because I have finished up with everything that was under the LI, so now I can go and close that LI.
Did I miss, what did I miss why some dots are black and why some dots are not black?
That's default. And it's when they embed in, they decide to make a different icon.
Okay.
So when they do the embedding in, they do a different icon. When we get into CSS, we'll get into how for each one of these I can specify what icon I want. But for now, they use a default icon, and when they move in, they just change it. Okay? Questions? So that's a key thing to remember, is if you're putting anything below, you have to finish off. So in below here, this was a UL and I've now finished it. This is a UL and I've now finished it. And so now I can go back and close that LI. Then I have the third, and then I close the whole thing. Okay. Then when I did it with just using ordered lists, it didn't change the numbers. And this is something that I found interesting. I don't know if it's different browsers or what, but I've definitely seen it change. So I have seen this go into ABC and so forth. and have it change. But for some reason, they did not change the thing when I did it with an audit list. Okay, so again, the rules change and how things are handled change. Has anybody got a browser open other than Firefox? And are you seeing anything other than 123s?
No.
Huh?
I'm seeing the same thing that you have there.
Okay.
Online.
You know, I mean, if I were to do this, I would definitely be using CSS to put in a different code rather than go with the 123s repeatedly. Because that doesn't really look like an outline. And the one at the bottom was simply to show you that I can mix an audit list and an unaudited list, and it lets me mix those. So I don't have to be consistent. I can start out with an audit list and then put an unaudited list underneath it, or vice versa. Questions? That's one of those things that's easy to forget. The not closing until you've finished everything that's underneath it. And this is one that has errors in it. And so it had validation issues. Because I did the problem. For example, down here, I've got an LI that ends even though I'm putting something under it. And so when I go and do validation, I will get an error on this. But notice it worked just fine. Again, the browsers are very forgiving. So I've got the, this is the second thing, and it goes right over, and then it indents and puts the UL underneath it, and puts in the right symbols and everything. It worked just fine. But it doesn't validate. So if your goal is to just get up a web page that looks fine, you're fine. But if your goal is to validate the web page, then it's not fine. Okay. Okay, I think this is probably a good place to stop and say if you want a break. Take about a 10-minute break, and then we'll come back and finish off. Remind me to turn.